Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Our guest is Andre Adair of Franchise Focused Marketing today. Andre's background in real estate marketing eased his transition into the fitness industry as the franchise marketing manager for UFC Gym. While directing the brand's social media, he focused on educating franchise owners on the importance of social media management and paid digital marketing. This role helped him discover his passion for working with small business owners and specifically franchisees. Today, we are going to be discussing Andre's journey as an entrepreneur and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Andre.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Great. So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Oh, wow. That's a big one right off the bat. I love it. You know, what motivates me is the passion for innovation and growth. And I know that's super vague and general, but I think it really encompasses everything that I love about business and life, and it's that constant pursuit to get better and better and better.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's true. As an entrepreneur, you're never really satisfied in one spot. You're just always striving to get to that next level.
You're right. Yeah. Like it's funny, you know, my wife and I, we have these conversations all the time, and you know, we talk about like, is there ever a point where enough is enough, or like we feel like we've made it? And we both kind of look at each other like, no, like it doesn't matter how great it is. It's just that the next point we're like, okay, cool. So we've done that. What's next? And it's what drives us, you know, as a couple, as a family, to really push the boundaries of what we're capable of doing. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. My business partner, he's always, it's like his thing. He's always saying like, if you're comfortable, if you get comfortable with anything, like you're not pushing yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You should be like, you got to always be outside of that comfort zone. So I feel like it's just like, he's ingrained that in my mind.
Oh, and I think that's actually one of the greatest, you know, advice that has ever been given to me was don't ever get comfortable. Always, always put yourself in that little stretch zone where, you know, you're a little bit afraid of what might be happening, but it's enough that you overcome it. And as you slowly do that, you look back, you know, I do it all the time. I look back and I go, wow, 10 years ago, I was essentially a glorified frat boy, starving, you know, young 20 something year old. And now it's a completely different thing. And it came through by really just that little push each and every way. And sometimes you can do it yourself, but a lot of times I find it's great to have somebody who's there to help push you, you know, and you know, kind of gives you that nudge of like, hey, you're looking way too comfortable, or, you know, you don't look hungry enough. Let's take a little bit of that away from you so you can get to it. So I love, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's the fun part of life that I think really drives it. Otherwise, what else is there? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important to have those associates around you, whether they're friends or mentors or whatever, but you know, those people that are going to tell you the hard truth, the things that you don't want to hear, it's like, yeah, like you are too comfortable. Like you got to focus on this. Like you're not doing a good job in this area, and we'll just kind of be super blunt.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I will say that I'm right off the bat. I'm never a huge fan of those comments. I always go like, "What are you talking about? I'm perfect." and then I'll sit back and I'll go, "Okay, hold on, wait a minute. There must have been a reason. Like, I know that person isn't a jerk and isn't out there to just upset me. So what was it that made them feel like they needed to say that to me in that moment?" And oftentimes it's my wife, or you know, she'll say something and I'll be like, no, and then she'll go, no, but really, and I go, okay, yeah, you're right. Or you know, some of the closest people I've known for 20 years that, you know, every once in a while they pop in and they go, you know, I ran into somebody from high school and he was like, hey man, I thought you'd be the mayor of a city by now, and I was and I was like, oh, I failed, I haven't been pushed hard enough, what's going on?
That's hilarious. Yeah, no. Yeah. So my brother is my business partner, so I feel like he can give me that like brutal, honest like feedback. So, and yeah,
I don't know if I could do that. Having if I had my sisters as my business partners, we would, we'd be dead. That's for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a whole other episode. There's a lot to that. So tell me, so how did you get into digital marketing?
Oh man, you know, honestly, it started with being young and trying to find out what was I good at. You know, I mean, I hate dating myself, but I'm at that age where, you know, MySpace was very popular in my youth. And when Facebook came around, I was not quite as young as I was when Facebook was, but it was still this new thing, and nobody really understood how to properly utilize. I mean, I get these reminders of like what I was posting when I first got on Facebook, and I cringe. Like I've seen
those too, and it's like from like 10 years ago, and I'm like, wait.
Yeah. Oh, I often want to go punch 10-year younger me in the face for, you know, and it was the way that nobody really. There was a group of people who absolutely immediately caught on, knew how to use it, and it was they rolled with it.
Yeah.
But there was a bunch of people, especially with, you know, in the real estate game, I worked in the title insurance side of things, and a lot of those guys were older and they didn't really know how to leverage that as a tool to get in front of their audience. And so, you know, I mean, there were no college courses when I was in school that taught you how to use Facebook. Like,
no,
you know what I mean? That there wasn't, it was go figure it out. And so, you know, I worked in that, and part of my gig is I would help real estate agents who were clients of my boss, and you know, they'd be like, how do I use this dang thing? And I'd be like, okay, let's get the app. And, you know, and for them, it'd be like, grab your BlackBerry, now get in there and fill out all this information. And and so that's how I got onto kind of that side of things. And, you know, from there, it just evolved, you know, and you know, my passion obviously wasn't real estate, you know, or selling title insurance. Mm-hmm. And I just moved on and was looking for a new opportunity. And that's where, you know, getting into UFC Gym by complete happenstance happened. A friend of mine worked with a marketing director there, and the marketing director was like, hey, I need somebody to help me wrap my head around this social play for 100 locations. How do we organize it? How do we post? How do we, you know, curate content that we can get out and really, you know, disseminate on that? And I just walked in, and you know, I'm a huge fan of, I'll never say no to something unless it's like, I really, really, really have no idea how to do it. Like if somebody said, can you do heart surgery? I would say no. But if somebody says, hey, can you figure out how to, you know, do social media? I was like, yes, of course. And
I
so,
love that.
You know, And I stepped in and figured it out. You know, I mean, it was, like I said, there was no college course for it. Like I run into guys now who I hire, and they're like, I went to school for digital marketing. And I'm like, what?
I know. It's crazy. It's cool.
I'm like, I wanted to be a philosopher and you wanted to get into Facebook? Like, this is nuts. So, you know, it just, as that grew, I became the franchise marketing manager for all these franchisees who needed help in the same way that the real estate agents did, the same way that the title insurance agents did. And, and it was just that teaching thing. Okay, great guys. Here's what's working. Here's what posts you should do. You know, take pictures of your local gym. And, you know, some of the best content that we created was just that organic, raw, you know, I still remember the best photo we ever posted. They had a gym in New Mexico where there was somebody doing a workout, and they had the balloon festival that you could see like in the background. and it was just this awesome photo. Like it didn't like it, it was
That's
just
so cool.
And it got the most likes, and it was like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, so cool.
Yeah, long story. That's how I got into that and kind of evolved into that role.
Very cool. And then so when did franchise focused marketing come into play?
Man. So originally, while I was at UFC Gym, you know, one of the things that I really saw, and you know, this is across the board, so it's not specifically to them, but you know, a lot of agencies, especially at the time, really were focused on going after that corporate contact, creating that big retainer. Let's, you know, we're going to put you on a minimum spend of, you know, $100,000 a month or what, you know, and they would work specifically with the corporate marketing team. And, you know, I have tons of friends in the corporate marketing teams, but it's a totally different ball game when you're the boots on the ground as a franchise or a franchisee. You know, you've invested either whether it be your life savings into building out this location or even just a good sum of money that, you know, would hurt if it went away. And so,
yeah,
you know, it's when we look at the corporate level, you know, a down day in lead generation of, let's say, 1-2%, and we go, all right, that was a Tuesday. Well, that trickles down to being huge at the local level. I mean, that could wipe them out for the week if they don't have leads that their salespeople can work on.
Right.
And so, you know, I often joke that my job as a franchise marketing manager was more a verbal punching bag for people who were unhappy with what was going on in that space. And I really could see that, hey, there's this opportunity here to shift the focus of what we're doing to really go, okay, how do we provide that big agency feel, that customer service to the local owners while also not charging them an arm and a leg? A lot of places at the time were charging these owners $1,500, $2,000 a month. And we went, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of money for somebody who's struggling. And so we went, how can we do this? So we came out with a price point that was so low. I'm not even going to say what the price point was so low because my wife was like, are you kidding me? How are we making any money doing this? And I went, it's a volume play, babe. That's what it is.
So, just trust me.
I had a dinner with another agency who works in the same field, and he was like, I hate you. It's like you came in and lowered that price point so low. And I was like, sorry, capitalism, I guess, you know. But you know, it was bringing that to them. That's how I got into that. And it was, you know, I mean, I was fortunate enough that I had friends who, you know, because I'm not the smartest guy in the room by any imagination, but I have a lot of friends who are very good at what they do.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to have people who I could call upon to go like, hey, I've got this idea. I know it's crazy. You want to do it with me? And they're like, I used to tell this joke that I told my friend, hey man, I got a couple of ideas. Let's go. Let's go skydiving. And he said, no. I go, okay, let's go start a business. And he go, cool. When do we go skydiving? So, So that was 2016, early 2016. And then, you know, as we've grown on and, you know, we've gone through our evolutions, into who we are today, but it's been a wild ride for sure.
That's so cool. So you guys, so do you exclusively service franchises then?
So for franchise focus, yes. We have kind of a sister company that we have that focuses on other verticals. But we like this one because, again, it's where my heart is. You know, I think franchisees as entrepreneurs are some of the most valuable people out there. I mean, they're really putting it at full day's work and getting in there. And it's they're definitely people that I believe should be helped as much as possible. And so we have that, you know, and it's not, even though, you know, funny enough, a good chunk of our clientele are fitness franchises, just because that's where my background came from and what I happen to be really good at. But we service preschools. We've worked with lawyers. There was one, what did we do? I think we did like a sandwich shop. So they're just all over the place. And we love the challenges that every new kind of industry brings to us of like, okay, well, how are we going to do that? All right, let's go tackle that.
Yeah, it's so fun. Keeps things interesting, right? Just learning about all these different cool industries. That's awesome.
Totally.
So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
Keeping the product of what we do as pure as possible. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you start off as one person, like I did in the attic of my house, you know, and you bring your own passion to it, but then as you grow, you put people in positions and you try to get them to be as passionate about what you're doing or keep to that same level as that you originally brought on. It's kind of like copying a copy, you know, where it degrades a little bit each time. And so one of the things that I actively work on all the time is how do I make sure that my staff keep that same quality and same, you know, passion that we had from day one.
Yes. Know? That's huge.
And we've done a great job. We've had our ups and downs. I mean, I gotta say there was one point in 2019 towards the end where we got too big too fast, and I wasn't able to maintain that quality, and we suffered for it. But you know, COVID was a blessing in disguise in that we got to take a breather. You know, we got to kind of step back and go, hold on, let's reevaluate that real quick. And we did an internal kind of revamp on how we trained people, the workloads that we had, and making sure that no matter what we did, everything that we were doing was focused on making sure that the quality of that service and product maintained its same level, no matter what.
That's awesome. Yeah, that worked out really well for you guys. That's really cool. Cause I'm sure once, like, I know everyone had that initial state of panic where they all just canceled everything, like everything's on pause. And then
it was terrifying.
Yeah. But then they came back. They're like, okay, well, this is where the world's going. We've got to get our digital marketing.
Yeah. I used to joke, my staff, who I think are some of the best people ever, when it happened, there was a lot of confusion. And I had everybody, originally everybody was working at home, and we would do these group Zoom calls. And, I started this thing where we still do it every time we have one of our all company meetings. And then I think each department has actually incorporated into their own meetings that they do daily, where we start off every meeting with good news. Give us some good news. Because at the time, it was everywhere you looked, it was bad news. It was like, the world is going to end. The world is going to end. The world is going to end. And everybody was terrified. And I just went, okay, guys, we're going to start this meeting off. I'd like everybody to just share some good news. And it doesn't have to be about work. It could be, you know, whatever. You hit a personal milestone in your workout or whatever. I just want good news talked about for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And getting through that initial, like, everybody canceling, you know, we kept ourselves upbeat enough that for our clients, I joke with my team, like, we were essentially underpaid therapists, because a lot of people were going through a lot of things. And I just told them, I said, look, even if you get on the call with your clients and you don't talk marketing at all, I just want you to be there. And I want you to let them know that we have their backs and that we will do everything we can to make sure that their business survives. And
that's so cool.
You know, that, yeah. And, it, you know, and again, it really is the foundation of everything that we do. And, you know, I always joke when I say the name of our business, Franchise Focused Marketing, because I'm like, it is that. We are focused on that.
Yeah.
More than anything else. And so, like, I always laugh. I'm like, oh man, I did not realize how apropos that would be to what we do.
So it sounds like you guys have some really interesting core values that sort of drive you guys. You know, you've got that really dedicated, extreme, that dedication to your client success. So
totally.
How would you describe your company culture?
You know, I work hard, play hard, I think is a great way to put it. When I created the company, I had worked at several places, and both very corporate environments and also very, you know, small business. And one of the things that I liked about the small business atmosphere was that it was laid back. It was very almost family-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and I peruse through, like, you know, obviously I'm in digital marketing, so I'm on Facebook or Instagram, and I'll see these things where it's like, be very afraid if an owner says that it's like a family. And I'm like, that terrifies me because I say that all the time in that, you know, everybody in my company, like we really love to play. We love to have fun. We're very serious about what we do in terms of the work, but like,
yeah,
you walk through the offices and, you know, people are joking with one another. They're having fun. There's a lot of laughter in our office. You know, we have TVs on the wall, and I think I just walked by earlier today and somebody was watching the Parent Trap. and so, somebody else had, you know, like some soccer game going on. So it's, you know, very much an environment where people want to be, because I love it when you can have that. You know, work is hard enough as is. I think businesses across the world are experiencing what it's like when employees don't want to be at the office, and now they're having to like incentivize the heck out of everybody to just come back to the office. And
yes,
you know, I've talked to people and they go, well, that's the future. And I go, I don't think that is. I think employers have to understand that the workforce and the workplace has to be a place where people enjoy being.
Yeah.
You know, now that doesn't mean go crazy and be like, hey, guess what, guys, we're just going to drink all day and whatever, but like structure, but also a lot of enjoyable activities. I mean, I made a deal with my team at the beginning of last year. Was we got to get back to pre-COVID numbers, and if we do, we're going to Cabo. And so just a few weeks ago we hit the goal, and the entire company, we took a couple days off and we flew to Cabo.
No way.
We had 4 days of fun. Yeah, we had 4 days of fun. It was so great.
That's awesome.
And then we flew back, and then we were all like, okay, now we're exhausted. We need a vacation from the vacation. So,
yeah. Oh, that is.
But that's
so
the
cool
kind of environment that you know I like having. And again, it really just comes from having those people who enjoy doing what they're doing and have that same passion. And I think I've done a good job, more so recently than I have in the past, of making sure that I have people who are really passionate about it.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And so, how would you say that whole strategy, that the culture that you've developed, how does that tie into your client or your employee retention?
Do you find
your retention is higher because you've created this place that people want to be?
I think that the people who click with it, the people who get it, the people who really can kind of mesh well with it, they stay. You're always going to have people who come in and don't quite fit, and you do everything you can to make sure that you're as accommodating as possible, and that, you know, and sometimes it's just not, it's not the right fit. And I don't,
yeah.
And I think that, you know, everybody has their own thing. I've had employees who've worked for me, who've moved on to other agencies, who love working at that agency. And I'm so happy for them, because obviously, as you know, as an employer, you know, ultimately, you know, my goal is I want to help every person who works for me move in the direction that they want to go, professionally, personally, whatever it may be. And so I don't try to hold on for dear life every single employee that ever works for me. Like if
yeah,
it's not working, it's not working. And I understand. And, you know, again, if there are problems, like, great, let's have HR take a look at it. But, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, hey, you know, this isn't kind of my jam. And I go, hey man, I get it. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's interesting.
But funny enough, I mean, I have employees who've worked for me for just a couple of years now who are like, I'm never leaving you. So you better, you know, prepare a spare bedroom in your house because we're ride or die. And I love that, because those,
yeah,
you know, for me, that loyalty is the most important thing, because I know that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, we go through God forbid, we go through another COVID-like situation. I've got people who through thick and thin will have my back. And
yeah,
I think as an employer, as a leader, it doesn't get better than that. Like that comfort, it's what makes you be able to go to bed at night and sleep soundly, knowing that you've got a team behind you that's going to carry you if you need them to.
Yeah, totally. And it's so cool when you can really support those people, and you've seen them, you've helped them build and go through all these different milestones in their life as well,
totally.
Like getting married and buying that house and having family and stuff. And like, it's so cool.
I mean, the amount of times I have somebody walk into my office and say, hey, do you have a second? And I'm like, yeah, sure. What's up? And it's, I'm having this personal stuff. Can I talk to you about it? And it's like, of course you can. Like I, anything I can do to help you. And you know, it's going back to, you know, my biggest idol was my mother, and she was very good at building teams that were like families. You know, I mean, her staff when I was growing up were like my second mothers, and their kids were like my brothers and sisters. And it was like, that's how me and my sisters grew up. Like I just recently went back home to visit some of them. And it's that same thing that I want to bring to everybody else. Like I wanted to be a place where, hey man, if you're having problems, come talk to us. We'll help you out. And you know, if you need help with anything, like we got you, like
yeah.
No problem. So yeah,
that's so
cool. I love it.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I'd love to hear about the biggest overall challenge that you had to overcome while you've been growing your agency, and then how you've overcome that.
You know, I think that's like a two-parter, because I didn't know it was the challenge that I was really facing until the COVID kind of craziness forced me to realize that I needed to face it, which was overcoming my inexperience as a leader and as a business owner. In that, you know, I definitely started this company with a bit of naivety of what it was like. You know, it was the first company I'd ever started and run. I mean, up until 2018, it was me sitting in my, you know, attic on a computer, personally running every single campaign. And then, okay, good, I'm done with that. Now I'm going to go to billing, and now I'm going to go do this. And
yeah,
you know, that was my life. And you know, we did a really good job of growing quickly in those first couple of years. Once I got the hang of it, and then from a sales perspective and all of that. And then when I moved into that role of, you know, CEO and you know, what does that take? I think that really confronting my own inexperience and you know, I just complete ignorance on it and not, you know, so COVID, you know, luckily forced us to step back and go, okay, what are we good at? What are we not good at? And one of the things that I kind of sat back and realized was that I had some, you know, for me, some inexperiences that I needed to get sorted out real quick. and you know, it's one of those ones where, you know, there are people who had worked for me in the past that, you know, I could have done a better job being their boss. And you know, and I could have mentored them better. I could have, you know, coached them. I could, you know, all of those things that you look back and you go like, man, if I wasn't a jerk that day or whatever it may have been, you know, I look back, I think that's probably for me the biggest, because the team ultimately is where it's where everything is. It's the engine that runs the car.
Yeah.
And you have to, as a driver, you have to do everything you can to make sure that engine is working properly. And so fixing that was kind of the biggest thing. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I was like, hey, this is going to be really easy. I'm just going to turn on a bunch of Facebook ads and, you know, sit back and just collect paychecks. And then it was like, no, that is definitely not what this job is going to be. So, you know, really, it was an it was a in the field education process that I think we came out the other side better for.
Okay. So what were some of the tactical things that you had to implement to correct that issue that you perceived?
One, I had to let go a little bit. I was very much so overly involved in every aspect of what we did. And
okay.
So I needed to, you know, trust in the people that I put in the roles, you know, and just go, hey, this is yours. I don't, you know, the only time I'm going to come to you is if we have a major issue that we got to fix. And so I've learned to let go a little bit. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's your baby and you don't want to, like, you know, like the first day of school and you're like, I'm not going to,
I know,
you know,
it's fine.
And so, So I've had, you know, I've had a couple of people on my team look at me and go, hey, turn around, go back to your office. We're going to take care of this. Like, you know, we know you got that email. Don't even worry about it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah. It's so common. It's such a challenge to so many entrepreneurs.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like, it's one of those ones where like you feel like nobody's ever going to do it as good as you are. But the reality of it is that you just have to get over that fear and realize that if you give your team the resources to do it, they will surprise you and they will actually go far beyond what you even thought was possible in that area. And my team has done a great job of doing that. Like they've implemented, you know, new procedures and new ways of doing things that I honestly was like, I didn't even know you could do that. Like, holy moly. Like that's amazing. So, I think that was one. And then really making sure that I put the quality of the work over the profit, you know, which seems almost counterintuitive from the idea of capitalism and, you know, make as much money as you can. But I went back and I looked at it and I took some advice and feedback of people that had worked with me. And I went, all right, we're going to scale this back a little bit and we're going to take a hit. But in the long run, that's going to work out better. And I think we've done a really good job of that. Pre-COVID, you know, workloads for individual guys running campaigns was much higher. Mm-hmm. And you know, when it came time to go, okay, well, what do we do? Like we gotta lay off a bunch of people. And, you know, I went, I'm not going to lay off everybody because I need to quote unquote save money or whatever it was. In fact, you know, I think I did everything I could personally to make sure that my staff didn't feel the effects as much as possible of COVID. Mm-hmm. But we were able to then find that sweet spot on a workload balance where they could give as much attention as needed to our clients without sacrificing their workday or the everyday functions. And so we really scaled that back. We scaled it back a bit. And what's great about it is, you know, when I first looked at it, I went, ooh, I don't know how that makes sense on paper. Like there's no way we're going to do this. And then it did. And now we're at that point where we know exactly how many clients each person can work with. We know how many campaigns they can run. And then, you know, what's great about it is now, because they feel comfortable in it, we get those moments where we take on more clients and we're feeling a little bit stretched. Yeah. And they go, don't worry about it, man. Add 10 or 15 extra to my plate. I got you. And then we go, okay, good. And then as we're getting more people grooved in and trained on how to run these specific campaigns, we add more people and then we've grown. So we're actually larger now than we were pre-COVID because of it.
Wow, that's so cool. That's really interesting. Yeah awesome. Yeah. Well, we're going to begin wrapping up here shortly, but is there anything else that you'd like to add that you think would be beneficial to our listeners?
You know, passion. It's passion for what you do and passion for your customer. I mean, everything, you know, I made everything within FFM about the customer. Everything we do has to translate into a better experience for our customer. And so if it doesn't, we don't do it. And you know, balancing that and it's really, you know, I see a lot of times and I've talked to guys from other agencies and I've talked to people who've moved from agency to agency, and you know when a company hasn't put their client first. And you know when there's excuses or there's, you know, I mean, we've all seen it where there's, you know, trickery in how we talk about the numbers and what that means. It's like anytime you hear that kind of a thing, you know that the passion isn't about what's right for the customer. Mm-hmm. If you focus on what's right for them, you build that relationship and they will work with you even if you have bad months or quarters, because they like working with you and they know that you're going to fix it and they know you're going to get through the other side. And, you know, I think that would probably be my biggest thing for anybody, is just having that.
Yeah. And when you deliver that insane quality of work to your clients, you know, it pays you back tenfold in the referrals that you get. And then you get those clients every once in a while who are just like super clients, I call them. And they talk about you with like everywhere. Like you just get like a million referrals from them. And
oh, totally.
Yeah.
We don't market. We don't market ourselves. Everything we get is from people that, you know, relationships that we've built with our clients who then turn into relationships with corporate and relationships, and you know, and so it, then it just trickles down. But from, you know, I think we've tried marketing our business twice, and it was like we're not getting anywhere near the ROI that we're getting simply by just being good at what we do and having our unofficial brand ambassadors go out in the world and tell people about us. Like it's so yeah.
It's
plus
so
it's
cool.
Cheaper. You don't have to pay them, so it's great.
Exactly. Yeah, they pay you.
Exactly.
All right. Well, so where do you see franchise focused marketing in 5 years' time?
5 years? You know, that's a great question. I see it as probably triple the size it is now. And I see it being a all encompassing. Right now we are strictly digital in the sense that we're only running, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Google, YouTube, all of those things. I tell people I want it to be a digital first agency where we are, you know, there's still a lot of great value in the more traditional forms of marketing in terms of print and, you know, and billboards and grassroots and all of those things.
Yeah.
And I want us to take our experiences and really combine everything that any good marketing department would recommend people do into a, how do we link all of that up with your digital? And how do we make sure that when somebody, you know, gets that direct mail piece or sees you at a farmer's market or drives by your building, how do we link all of that up in a way so that it's just one plan, one play, and you just go, and it's not 15 different vendors for 15 different things.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. So you want to be like a full service agency down the road.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. We actually just finished doing our first full-on video shoot for a client of ours.
Nice.
And which is again one of those things where it's not what I do best, but I know people who do, and we fold them in and we go, great, you're part of our team now. And I got a text message from the CEO of that company saying, hey, if this is half as good as I think it's going to be, this is going to be amazing. So
that's
I'm
awesome.
Super excited about it and what that entails. And then, you know, all of the behind the scenes stuff that we're working on to offer our clients to make the transparency into what we do to help them understand it better, even more. So that's what, you know, I dream of when I lay my head down at night and go, ooh, what am I going to do tomorrow?
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Awesome. All right. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions.
All right.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Can I choose two?
Yes.
Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah.
In high school, two books that I think shaped my passion for combining business and art. Mm-hmm. Was that the business side was Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand, which, you know, really gave me that passion for entrepreneurs and the people who are pushing, you know, innovation and all of that. And then The Agony and the Ecstasy by Irving Stone, which was, it's a biography of Michelangelo. And it was the first time I went, oh, wait, maybe I'm a little bit of an artist and I can really appreciate the beauty in things.
Yes.
So that's why, like, when I look at campaigns or I look at, you know, landing pages that we build, those two things combined really just kind of blew it out of the water for me.
That's awesome. I love that. And what does your morning routine look like?
Typically, I wake up before my alarm at about 6 and I sit on Facebook or Instagram for a good hour laying in bed as I examine the competition and other agencies and what they're doing. And I screenshot and send text messages to my team of, hey, what about this? Or what about that? Or what are they doing? Or what can we do this? Or things like that. And then off to the office by 8:30. And then it's meetings probably for the first hour with different departments.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, sitting down and kind of going, okay, what are we doing? What are we running into and how can we fix them? So
nice.
That's typically what it is. We do every Monday, we do an all staff meeting. So we get
gotcha.
To go over everything. Yeah.
Very cool. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know, I love seeing what Elon Musk does. I know that seems pretty cliche and kind of basic, but you know, I love the passion he has for what he does. And I love that he, you know, I was reading, you know, through the news where, you know, in the current scene in Ukraine where they said, hey, we need internet. Here was a guy who's able to do that for a country, like a city, like literally hit a button and go, here's your internet. Like, that is amazing. Like, the value that guy has to the world for things like that is so amazing to me.
So he was just so cool about it too. Like, someone like tweeted him about it and he was like, yeah, I got you.
I would love for somebody to be able to tweet at me and say like, hey, do this. And I'm like, cool, problem solved. And just, you know, hunger is gone or something like that. You know, that'd be, that's amazing. That when you have somebody who's of that caliber and can do something like that, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's so inspiring.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite online tool?
Weirdly enough, I love Apple News. I curate all of my marketing kind of pieces, all the, you know, all of the blogs or articles that I keep up to date with right there. So it just goes straight from my phone to my computer, and I'll probably spend a good hour a day perusing through and catching up on what's new and know, what's trending and all of that. Yeah.
Awesome. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That it is never easy. And that if it is easy, you're probably not doing something right.
Yeah,
you're not challenging yourself enough.
we've come full circle. You're not pushing yourself hard enough.
You're not pushing yourself hard enough if it's easy. You know, that's, you know, like I said, when I started, I thought this was good. This was going to be simple, man. This is the sure way. And boy, did I learn that lesson the hard way. And I'm sure everybody who I ever told how to run their business before I did this is laughing at me now going, see, you didn't know anything, buddy.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today, Andre. It was a pleasure having you on the show, and I really appreciate you joining us.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.